So first, I'll start by defining weighted automata. So weighted automata are just like regular finite automata with two additional weight functions, one on the transitions, which is denoted by a number near the label of the transition, and another is a weight function on the accepting states, which is denoted by a number within the state after a slash. So how this weight works, so let's see some examples. So for the word ABC, we have a run A, B, C. So the word is accepted, and the weight is the sum of the weights on the transitions added to the final weight. So 1 and 2 and 1 added to 0, which is the accepting weight of Q3. So the sum, the cost of this word is 4. Next example, A, B, B, D. So again, it has only a single run, so the run is A, B, B, D, and the cost is 1 added to 1 and 1 and 1 and 1, and again the final weight is 0, so again the cost is 4. What happens when we have non-determinization? So the word A, B, B has two runs, A, B, B and A, B, B. So now we take the minimum between the the two runs, so the cost, the top cost, the top run costs 3 and the bottom run, costs 5, the bottom run costs 3. So the cost of the word is the minimum, which is 3. Formally, a run of a weighted automaton is on a word of length n is a sequence of n plus 1 states, where the first state is an initial state, and the run advances according to the transition function. A run is accepting if the last state in the run is accepting, and the language of the automaton is all the word on which the automaton has accepting runs. formally, the cost. So a cost of a run is the sum of the cost of the transition added to the cost of the final state, which should be accepting. So it is defined only for accepting states. A cost of a word is the minimum over the cost of the accepting runs. So if the word is not accepted, its cost is infinity. Some more definitions. So trim, Christian just defined what trim automata are. So an automaton is trim if every state is on some path from an initial state to an accepting state. And then an NFA, a weighted automaton, is unambiguous if every word is accepted. Every accepted word is accepted only in a single run. There are no two accepting runs for the same word. Some of the applications of the weighted automata are formal verification of quantitative properties, automatic speech recognition, image compression, pattern matching, which is widely used in computational biology, and more. Some of these applications require or work much better when the automaton is deterministic. So a natural question would be if, like in the regular, the unweighted automaton, if also for weighted automata, every non-deterministic automaton has an equivalent deterministic automaton. So unfortunately, the answer for this question is no. For example, this automaton, which is similar to the previous automaton we saw, just these states are not accepting, this automaton is not determinizable. And the proof is quite simple. Note that the cost of the word A, B to the KC is 2K plus 2. Because for every B, we pay 2, and we pay additional 2 for the A and the C. And the cost of A, B to the KD is K plus 2, because for every B here, we pay only 1 on this loop, and we pay additional 2 for the A and the B. So, after reading the word A, B to the K, the difference between the cost of reading C and B should be K. So, in the deterministic automaton, if it exists, for different I and J, the automaton must be in different states after reading A, B to the I and A, B to the J. Because here, after A, B to the I, the difference between C and D should be I, and after AB to the J, the difference between T and D should be J. So for the same suffix, the automata should act differently. So it must be in different states. So the deterministic automaton for this language must have infinitely many states, so it doesn't exist. So we saw that weighted automata not necessarily have a deterministic equivalent. Furthermore, it is an open question to decide whether a given automaton with a given weighted automaton has a deterministic equivalent. But Mori, in a fundamental paper in 97, showed a sufficient condition for determinability with a determinization algorithm that we will see in a moment. So the sufficient condition is called the twins property. And the property is that for every two states, Q and Q prime, and two words, U and V, if Q and Q prime are both reachable from the set of initial states by the word U, and both Q and Q prime are reachable from themselves, have a loop of V, then the cost of the loop of V on Q should be equal to the cost of the loop on V with Q prime. This is the twins property. Clearly, if, for example, there are no loops in the automaton, so it trivially satisfies the twins property. Mori also showed that in case the automaton is trim and unambiguous, the twins property is a characterization for determinizable automata. So let's see an example for how the determinization algorithm works. So first, let's take an automaton without loops, so it trivially satisfies the twins property. It is also trim and unambiguous because every word is accepted by only a single run. So first the intuition. Every determinization algorithm for automata probably should use the subset construction. So in the deterministic automaton, every state would be a subset of states of the original automaton. But still, we challenge another problem, because if we read A, so after reading A, we can be either in Q1 or in Q2. The question is, what we will do with the weights, because the transition have different weights. So the solution of Mori is that all the states in the subset have a residual weight. That is, in every subset, we have every state in a subset, as I said, a weight, which means how much the state owes to the automaton. Okay, so let's see the construction on the determinization of this automaton. So now, reading A, this automaton can go either to Q1 or Q2. So what will be the weight on the transition? So it will be the minimum between 3 and 4. Okay, so we take 3, and consequently, Q1 owes nothing because it has paid all it owes. So the residual of Q1 will be 0. But the residual of Q2 will be 4 minus 3, because it should pay 4 and paid only 3, so it owes 1. So the same for B. Again, we have, after reading B, we can be either in Q1 or Q2. The weight on B will be the minimum between 2 and 3, which is 2, and again Q1 will have no residual weight, but Q2 will have a residual weight of 3, which is the cost it should pay, minus 2, which is the cost it had paid, and it will be 1. Now we notice that these two states are essentially the same state, so we merge it into a one state. So we go on constructing the automaton. Now, from this state, we have a C transition, which actually only one position. It's deterministic. It's only from Q1 to Q3. So the weight is 0, which is the residual weight here, plus 5, which is the weight it should pay in the original automaton. The weight is 5. The residual weight of Q3. Is 0, excuse me, and for computing the accepting weight of Q of this state, we should take the residual weight of this of this state of Q3 to see if it owes us anything from the past, and add to it the accepting weight of the original automaton. So here both are zero, so the accepting weight is zero. Quite similarly for the D, only here the transition is a bit more complex, because here the transition of D goes out from Q2, and here Q2 has a residual weight of 1. So the weight here will be 1, which is the residual weight, added to 4, which is the weight of the transition, so that it will be 5, the weight will be 5, and again, it has no residue, because it paid all it should pay, and also, similarly to this case, the accepting weight of Q3 here is 0. And again, we came to the same state, so we can merge the two states into one, and we're done. I'll show some more examples, because our algorithm is based on the algorithm of Mori, so I'll give some more examples of the determinization algorithm of Mori, so hopefully our algorithm will be easily understood. So another example, now with loops. So we have loops, but note that the loops here cost the same. So the twins property is satisfied, right? Because both Q1 and Q2 are reachable by reading the same word, A or B, and the loop costs the same. So by Mori's paper, it should be determinizable. So indeed, it's determinizable, and we will see how it works. Note here that the accepting cost of Q2 is 1. So here, the word AC to the I is accepted by 3, and 2i, which is the loop of I, and 1, which is the accepting cost. Okay, so let's construct the deterministic equivalent. So again, we start with Q0 with no residual weight. Now, reading A1, the transition costs 1, which is the minimum between 1 and 3. And the residuals are, for Q1, it's 0 because it paid everything it should be, and it should pay. And for Q2, it should pay 3, and it pay only 1, so we remember the 2 here in the residual. Now, what about the accepting weight? Why is it 3? Because it has a residual weight of 2. So the residual weight of 2 should be added to the accepting weight, which is 1, and it sums up to 3. Let's go on. What happens with B? So B, again, we have a transition that costs 1, a transition costs 4, so we take the minimum, which is 1, and we remember for the transition that costs 4, we remember the 3, and again, the state is accepting because one of its substate is accepting 1, is accepting state, so we, with the accepting weight of 1. So let's go on. Now from this state, if we read C, we are again in the same two states. Since the loops of both states cost 2, so we have no problem about the transition. The transition would cost 2, and the residual are left the same because nothing has changed. We've paid 2, so it's just as it was before. And note that we have the same state again, so we can merge the states. For this state, also, since the loop costs 2 in both for both states, so we come to the same state and we merge the states. Now, what happens with a D? So after reading a D from both states, we go to Q3. So what about the transition? The transition here from Q1 should be 0, which is the residual weight, added to 2, which is 2. While the transition from Q is 2, added to 1, which is 3. So the minimum between 2 and 3 is 2, so we took the 2 for the weight of the transition. And since we can get to Q3 this way with no residual weight, the residual weight of Q3 here is 0. Let's see what happens from this state. So now, from Q1, Q1 has a residual weight of 3, and additional weight here of 2, which is 5. And if we go from Q2, it has a residual weight of 0, and the transition here costs 1, so 1 is the minimum between 1 and 5, so we take 1 to be the cost of the transition. And again, we got to the same state, so we can merge the states, and we are done. Now let's see what happens to Mori's algorithm when it faces a non-determinizable weighted automaton, like we previously saw. So here it's non-determinizable, and it doesn't satisfy the twins property, because we see that the loop here costs 1, while the loop here costs 2, and these two states are reachable by reading A from the initial state. So these are the weights as we saw earlier. So the algorithm starts with Q0 and 1. Now reading A, it goes to Q1 and Q2. The both scores are 1, so the residuals of both states are 0. Now what happens when it reads B? So the transition here costs 2, and this one costs 1, so the transition here on the deterministic automaton should be 1, and we remember for Q1 the residual of 1. Now what happens if we take the transition B again? So again it costs 1, because Q2 still has only no residual weight, and they still can do this transition paying only 1, but Q2 should pay again 2, so its residual weight grows. So we get 2 different states, we cannot merge them. And so on, keeping reading B's, we get more and more states, and this construction never ends on this automaton. So this is what happens with non-determinizable weighted automata. Still, unfortunately, also for determinizable automata, there are problems. So this is the automata we've seen in the previous slide. Now we change the C, we change this to D. So now what happens that the same words are accepted from here and from here. So actually, since here we just pay more, we can just remove this part, okay? We can remove the upper part, and nothing will change, because we replace the C here by D, so we no longer accept words that end by C. Unfortunately, the construction of Mori, it doesn't change the fact that it still constructs infinitely many states, because it is stuck here in this place. It even doesn't get to this D to see it. It was changed. So this problem is actually caused by the fact that this automaton is ambiguous. The word A, B to the ID may be accepted by 2 different runs, and as we said previously, the twins property characterizes determinizable automata only if the automaton is trim and unambiguous. So here, it is determinizable, but yet not determinizable by Mori's algorithm. Okay, so what we've seen so far, that Mori's algorithm terminates if and only if the original automaton has the twins property. For trim and unambiguous automata, there is a polynomial algorithm for testing the twins property, and unfortunately there are determinizable automata on which do not satisfy the twins property, like the last one we've just seen, and on which the determinization algorithm of Mori would not terminate. So what we do usually in computer science when we cannot solve a problem accurately as we wish, so we use approximation, like in NP problems sometimes when a solution is not feasible, we are satisfied when we have an approximated solution. So here also we want to check what happens if we give up the accurate determinization and we require only approximated determinization. So what we want is, given a weighted automaton and the approximation factor T greater or equal to 1, we want to construct a deterministic automaton A prime. such that for every word, the cost that A prime assigns to the word is at least is somewhere between the original cost, and P times the original cost. Why would we do this thing? So first, clearly it helps us when exact determinization is not possible. So maybe exact is not possible, but approximate determinization is possible. And in another case, which it may be helpful, is when the exact determinization results in a very large automaton with very many states, and we would like the result to be smaller. So an example for this case is this example. In the automaton A4, we have two components. This one is the first component, and its language is LN, which is all the words in which the nth letter from the end is A. So this is the language it accepts, and it accepts all these words at the cost of 1, because this is the only cost they pay. All the rest of the transitions cost 0. The second component of this automaton is this. This component accepts all the non-empty words with the cost at the cost of P. So at all, the language of A4 is sigma plus, which is all the non-empty words over sigma. And the cost is, if the word is empty, so it's not accepted and its cost is infinity. Otherwise, if the word belongs to LN, so it has an accepting one on this component, and thus it costs 1. Otherwise, it should be accepted with this component, and it costs P. So now what happened if we want to determinize this automaton? So it is possible, but it requires to the n states, because every determinization of this automaton should distinguish between LN and the complement of LN. And we know from automata theory that distinguishing between LN and N and its complement requires 2^n states. Now, what would happen if we will if we will compromise and accept the approximation? So if we accept the approximation, we can get a price up to T for the rest. So now we can accept all words with at the price of T. So actually we can get a two-state automaton, deterministic automaton that accepts this language, and it will be this automaton. If we take that just the bottom component, it actually accepts all these words at the price of T. So we see that that approximation helps also for succinctness. So the point of approximation is, we saw previously that in the determinization algorithm of Mori, the problem is an explosion of problem, because the algorithm creates more and more states. So what approximation comes to do is to maybe merge states, even if they not the same. If they are similar enough, maybe we can merge them and try to avoid the creation of infinitely many states. So the first approximation was suggested by Buxbaum, Giancarlo, and Westbrook, and it is based on Mori's algorithm, and it relaxes the condition of merging states. So now in Mori's algorithm, as we see, we merge states only if they're equal. In this construction, we may merge them if the residual costs are within 1 plus epsilon of the smaller one. So this is the construction, and there are no guarantees about the new cost, and no sufficient dilution for termination. What we suggest is a T determinization algorithm, which constructs a deterministic automaton in which the cost of all the words would be between, as I defined earlier, between the original cost and T times the original cost. So determinization up to a factor T, I just said that, it differs from Mori's algorithm in three aspects. First, the weights are multiplied by T. For each state in the subset, we maintain a range of residues instead of just one, as Mori does. And the criterion for unification of states is relaxed, we will just see. So let's see an example, which is exactly the automaton on which we previously saw that the determinization algorithm of Mori failed. So, as I said, we instead of using a single residue, we use a range. We're doing this by using two numbers, and a lower residue and an upper residue. So, intuitively, the lower residue is according to we want the cost of the words here and the words in the constructor's automaton to be between the original cost and t times the original cost. So the lower residue fits to the original cost, and the upper residue is for t times the original cost. So how it works? We have an A transition to Q1 and Q2. What will be the cost? It will be 2, because here, as we said, we multiply the cost by t. So if the cost here on the original construction should be 1, so here we double it, it's 2, a 2 determinization, so our t now is 2, we just multiply it by 2. Now, what will be the residue? So we have a lower bound and an upper bound. So the lower bound is for a cost of W. So if the original cost here was 1, okay? So if we paid here 2, so actually we don't owe the automaton, but on the contrary, the automaton owes us. So the residue is the residue here is minus 1, okay? We should pay 1. We paid 2, so the automaton owes us 1. Here, if we want to consider t times the cost, so if we consider t times 1, or 2 times 1, which is 2, so we pay just as much as we should pay. And the same thing for Q2. Now, what happens with the B? So here, again, we have a transition here that costs 2, and a transition here that costs 1, so we should pay 1, but we multiply the cost by 2, so we pay 2. So now what will be the residue? So the lower residue, we compute it by taking this lower residue, adding to it the cost, and reducing the cost that we actually paid. Okay, so the residue here was minus 1, plus the cost that we should pay, which is 2, minus 2, so we stay with minus 1. What happened with the upper residue? With the upper residue for that considers t times the cost. So here, the residue was 0, but now the transition for Q1, the transition we considered like it was 4. Okay, so it was 0. We should pay 4 here. We paid only 2, so we owe 2. Okay, now what happens with Q2? So for Q2 we had minus 1, it cost 1, and we paid 2, so now we are at minus 2, and the upper bound we had 1, we paid 2 because we multiplied by 2, and we paid 2, so we are at 0. Now we see that the residual weights here, the ranges here contain the ranges here. Okay, so actually what it means that the promise that this state makes is stronger than this state, because this state, the ranges here are more wide, are more loose. Okay, so I can replace a weaker promise with a stronger promise. So since these residues contain these, we can just merge the states. Okay, so this is our merging policy. If all the ranges of the states in the subset contains the previous range, contain the ranges of a previously created state, we can merge the states. Now for C, we pay 2 because it should be 1. We pay 2, and again D, we get to the same state and we merge the states. So just I'll present the theorems in the paper. So the correctness theorem for this algorithm is if the algorithm terminates, then indeed the cost it assigned to words is between the original cost and t times the original cost. What about the termination? So if an automaton has the t-twins property, which is similar to the twins property, just up to a factor t, so it will terminate. And the weights, in this proof, the weights are rational. So actually, we believe it's true only also for real weights, but we haven't proved it yet. For trim, unambiguous weighted automata, and an automaton is determinable if and only if it has the twins property, and deciding the t-twins property for trim and ambiguous automata can be done in polynomial time. So I'll summarize the talk. Why should we have a approximate determinization or for non-determinable automata or for when we want a smaller result? In our determinization algorithm, weights are multiplied by t. We use ranges of residuals instead of a single number, and we collapse to state whose ranges are contained in mine. And we have a sufficient condition, the t-twins property, which is also a characterization for a subset and the decidable in polynomial time. Future work is maybe to generalize. Last slide. The future work is to generalize the proof, determination proof to real numbers, as we believe is true. And of course, a major question in this area is to find an algorithm to decide whether a given weighted automaton is determinable, or alternatively to prove that no such an algorithm exists. Thank you.